I kissed Tristan. Tristan kissed me. My lips and Tristan's lips have met. My tongue and Tristan's tongue have made each other's intimate acquaintance, and after years of crushing and daydreaming and far too many late-night fantasies, I know exactly what it's like to make out with my boss. It is addictively amazing, euphorically magnificent, blissfully mind-blowing, and utterly and completely perfect in every way. His kiss was like fresh sea air and something seductively smoky, like a campfire on a cool spring night, and I'm already dying for another taste. Okay, fine. I want more than a taste. I want Tristan's body pressed to mine, Tristan's hands pinning my wrists to the mattress, Tristan's mouth hot on my throat as he tells me he's been dying to make love to me since the moment I walked into his animal shelter with a degree in social work and a passion for rescuing Northern California's four-legged friends. I want his lips everywhere, his hands everywhere, and I would gladly sell a piece of my soul to know what it feels like to have nothing between us but skin. In the past 3 years, as my temporary break from the dating scene to focus on work slowly became something closer to a vow of celibacy, I thought I'd moved past the roaring hunger for physical connection. Just as I'd outgrown pizza and beer as diet staples, I'd assumed I'd also outgrown the hormones that had made Bear and I the butt of our friends' jokes during our college days. Back then, the thought of going more than a day or two without jumping into bed with my big, furry boyfriend was unthinkable. I was hooked on his body, the closeness we shared, and all the incredible, previously undiscovered things he made me feel. But now I'm older and wiser. I'm a 26-year-old woman with a demanding full-time job, responsibilities, and the maturity to realize sex isn't that big a deal in the grander scheme of things. Like ice cream, it's a delicious indulgence, but I'm perfectly capable of going without it when I'm watching calories in pre-swimsuit season or focusing my attention on other things. Or so I'd thought. Oh, what a fool I've been. What an idiot. What a dangerously dim-witted dum-dum. Wandering around without a clue that I was a sex-deprived ticking time bomb, ready to explode the moment Tristan Hunter pulled me into his arms and kissed me like there was no one else in the world.
It is a testimony to the awesomeness and insanity of my family that they met the news of my fake wedding to Zoe with general good cheer and threw themselves into making the occasion fun for all involved. My brother Dylan offers to bring 2 kegs from his brewery. My brother Rafe and his wife Carrie insist on swinging by the farmer's market to get fresh flowers to decorate. And my sister-in-law Emma calls in a favor with a caterer friend to hook us up with a borrowed wood-fired pizza oven to roll into the backyard and a chef to whip up pizzas for the reception. My nephews assure Zoe and me that they've got the DJing under control. My older brother Deacon promises to make sure the boys throw in some old folk-friendly music along with their favorites and offers up the tux he got married in years ago. And for the finishing touch, Violet swings by late Saturday night to squeeze in a fitting for Zoe, who will be wearing her old wedding dress. "I'll have it hemmed and let out up top and ready to go by tomorrow morning," Violet promises, scooting through the living room with a garment bag under one arm and her sewing kit under the other. I'm so excited. My daughters have already refused to wear my hideous old dress. I'm so happy it's going to get another turn down the aisle. "It's not hideous," Zoe insists, hurrying to open the front door for her. "It's gorgeous and elegant, and I'm so thankful for the dress and the fake officiating and everything else." Violet wrinkles her nose as she flaps a hand. "It's my pleasure. Anything I can do to help you 2 crazy kids get the crazier kids out of your hair." Zoe and I wave goodbye and settle in for a movie on the couch with Luke snuggled between us, but it isn't long before we're both yawning. Planning a wedding, even a fake wedding, in less than 48 hours is exhausting, Zoe says, muffling another yawn. Agreed. I click off the television and stand, stretching my arms overhead. "So, did we decide to sleep in separate bedrooms tonight? To add realism to the fake wedding?" Zoe huffs. "Heck no. I plan on seeing you the night before the fake wedding, the morning of, and all of the days after." I grin. "I like your style, soon to be fake Mrs. Hunter." Her eyes twinkle. "I like the sound of that." "So do I."